Hello?
Hello.
Okay, perfect. Good morning. My name is Joey. I just graduated from Santa Barbara last June, so and I moved down to OC in July, so it's my first time back in actually like 3 months, so it's super exciting. So thank you guys for inviting me back. Super excited. It's been a while since I preached, so I'm a little nervous. A lot of practice. The passage we're going to be going over today is going to be Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It's part of the series. It's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. So if you guys have your Bibles, please open up to there. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Let us pray. God, I thank you so much for bringing us here. I thank you for just allowing me back to be back in Santa Barbara and to preach and to serve you. I thank you for every single individual that is in this room, God. I thank you for the incoming freshmen that are here for the first time. I thank you for all the students that made it back safely. So during this time, we just want to give thanks for allowing us to be back together with family, with our church, with our brothers and sisters to worship you and be together, God. So would you be here with us right now? Would there be a peace in this room and a time of rest? And also conviction, God. So would you speak to me, Father? Would you speak to every single individual, God? Would you be with us, Lord? Would your spirit be present here right now? Amen. So like I said, I just moved. I transitioned from being a student, and now I'm working full time. No one warned me what that would be like. There's this big lie in college that says post-grad life is exciting, but it is not as exciting as I heard. It has been a big transition from just taking classes to like waking up at 5 and going to work and then going to bed and then waking up at 5 again for work and doing that 5 times a week. It's just not what I expected, but it's been good. I think it's been a time of learning a lot, and just wanted to share a little bit about that and just things I was thinking about when I was reading through Hebrews chapter 11. Before I jump in, I just kind of want to read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 7, just to kind of have a little bit more context of like where we're coming from, and to help me kind of map that out too. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he shall not see death, and he was not found, because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God." Verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And the verse that we're focused on today is verse 4, and it talks about Cain and Abel. And that story happens all the way back in Genesis. It's from Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. This is right after they introduce Adam and Eve, and they say, like, "Oh, Adam and Eve have children," and the first two sons that are born to that family was Cain and Abel. And verse 3 in Genesis chapter 4 says, "In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regarded for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is contrary to you, but you must rule over it. And I think, you know, if we all grew up in church, we've heard that story many times before. And I remember when I read it, even now sometimes I read it about Cain and Abel, and I always wonder, what is the big difference between the offerings that Cain and Abel gave to the Lord? You know, because when I read it, nothing comes out as striking as one is evil and one is not. But the Lord says what Cain has given was evil and was not accepted, but what Abel gave was righteous and good, and the Lord praised him over it, and it's written throughout history. You know, and then in Hebrews it says that because of his faith and because of that offering, he speaks even though he died. And so it talks about how the offering that Abel gave was something that was like so righteous and so beautiful and so amazing. And I think when I was reading, I was wondering, like, what about his offering is so much better than what Cain has offered? And I was just reading more upon it, and they were just kind of going through, and there's like a lot of different things that they heard. But I thought something that I found most interesting was like just looking at what kind of gifts they gave. You know, Abel said he brought the firstborn of his flock, and it was an animal offering, and he spilled the blood. And they were saying how the spilling of the blood, it signifies like repentance. You know, people in the Old Testament, they would sacrifice animals in front of the altar, and the blood would wash away their sins. And it was an offering to make amends for the sins that they committed to the Lord. And it comes from a place where you acknowledge that you are sinful and that you are broken. It comes from a place where you realize, like, oh, like there is sin in my life. And God, I need to come here before you and give this offering to you and ask for repentance and ask for forgiveness. And they're saying when Cain offers the fruits of the land, and it's not an offering of blood. It's a thanksgiving offering, but those are only given when it is assumed that you are innocent. And I thought that was really interesting. You know, the commentator I was reading on made a clear distinction at how it seems that Abel's offering was assuming that he was broken and sinful, but Cain's offering was given assuming that he was righteous and innocent. And the Lord honors the one that says, I am broken and I'm lost and I am not whole. And so I think when we look at both of those, you know, gifts and offerings and gifts of worship, when we take a quick glance at it, it looks the same. The outward appearance will always look the same. But there's something important that I always feel like the Lord makes a distinction between what is seen on the outward, but what is happening in the heart and what is happening inside of your character and your mind. And how, like, two people can give an offering that looks very similar, but one can be in faith, but one cannot. And I always thought that was so interesting, you know. And I think growing up in church and being a part of church, I think it's so easy for me to fall into this trap where I know all the right things to say. You know, I know the offerings that I need to give. I know the worship that I am called to give and what looks right and what looks the part. But I think it's something so scary, but also something so important where we realize you can do all the right things and say the right things and look right. But if your heart's not right, if your character is not right with what the Lord is calling you to do, one can be evil and one can be lost. And that's kind of like what I want to dive in for a little bit before I move on to anything else I want to talk about. You know, and the topic that we got today, it's faith worship, worshiping in faith. What does it mean to worship with the faith believing that God is real? And what is a worship that assumes that, like, you know everything and you don't need God? And something that I think I was thinking about today or when I was reading this was, I think that offering where you give and the offering that Abel gave that assumed that he was already broken and not righteous, that's the kind of worship that requires faith. I think genuine worship that the Lord receives is not something where you come and you ignore all your flaws and ignore the brokenness that you have. But it's a type of worship where you look at yourself and you recognize that you are deeply flawed. I think that's the basis of what it means to walk in faith. is for you to look at yourself and realize, like, oh, like, I am actually not the most righteous person that I know. I actually don't have it all figured out. Like, there are many things that I need to repent for. There are many ways that I need to grow, and there are many ways that I'm not whole in. And isn't that place where you say, God, I will give you everything I have, and I will give you the greatest worship that I can ever give, but even that will fall short of the glory that you have called me to be. Because I know that no matter how much I offer you, no matter how great it is, it will never match the standard you call me to do. But I also have faith that you'll have grace on me. And I think that is the beauty of worship. And the beauty of God allowing us to worship Him, be servants, and be with Him, and be in communion with Him, is this idea that we do not deserve all those things, but by faith I believe that the Lord has grace on me and receives me every time. But I think such an easy trap for us to fall into is this idea where we ignore our sin, we ignore how broken we are, we ignore who we really are to make ourselves have this false sense of security, knowing that I have reached this point of worship, I have reached this point where I can be good with God on my own. And I believe that kind of worship has no faith, because it's all on you, it's all on your deeds, it's all on how well you present yourself. And I think it's such an easy trap for us as Christians to assume the state of righteousness where it says, like, I don't need to repent. Like, I present myself in the best way. I wear my Sunday clothes and I come before God and I know that I'm righteous. Because it doesn't require any faith in that. Because you need faith to know that you're broken, and you need faith to know that God would love even a broken person. And I just love how, like, that's where it starts, you know? It starts at a place where you acknowledge, like, oh, like, I am broken, but God will still accept my offering. Like, God will still accept the ways that I want to serve Him. God will still accept me. As long as I come before Him and say, God, like, this is all that I can offer, but I want to serve You and I want to worship You. And He looks at such humble gifts and He says, that is amazing to me, and I will make it spoken throughout history. You know, and that's what this whole chapter talks about. You know, in the beginning it says, like, what is faith? What is faith? Is believing that God is greater than your problems. Faith is believing that God is sovereign over everything in your life. That God is bigger than the shortcomings you have in your life. God is better. God is greater than your sins. God is greater than the shortcomings that you think that are insurmountable in your life. And I think it's also important to see, like, what God has called to be not acceptable as His gift. He says, if you come to me assuming that what you have is worthy of me, and you think that what you have to offer me is something that I need, I will not accept it. I want you to be honest with me. But I think sometimes that's so much harder to do than for me to be, like, genuine. Like, I'd rather fake it till I make it than actually be honest with myself and see face to face with my sin. And then I was thinking about these things, and I was reading it, and the verse that came to mind was from Hosea 6:6. It says, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." And throughout the Bible, I think we always hear about saying, like, God doesn't want your good deeds. He doesn't want you to look perfect. He doesn't want you to put your best foot forward. He wants you to be honest with Him, and from there He will move and do great things. And we see all these great characters in the Bible and how they did crazy things for the Lord. But it always talks about how He came from such humble beginnings. It always talks about how God opposes the proud, but He uplifts the humble. And I think this is a sign of encouragement for everyone here who has a deep desire to serve and to worship the Lord and to give Him all that you have. But you realize that everything you are, maybe not enough to do the things that you want. But I think this is encouragement to you guys. They say God is not looking for those things. God is looking for the people that are humble enough to say, God, I need your help to even worship you and to be used by you. And from there, in those humble beings, that God uses to do great things. I think after I graduated and I moved out of college, I've been kind of just sitting and just seeing, like, what does it really mean for me to be Christian? Like, I'm entering into a new season of my life. I'm no longer in school. I'm not doing college ministry. I'm not I'm not preaching regularly, and I'm just, I'm starting my life as an adult now, and I've been wondering to myself, what does it really mean for me to be Christian right now? And I look around the world around me, and there's, I just feel like we're in such a very interesting time, and there's so many things that are going around every day. And I've been asking myself, like, where do I fit in this narrative of the word? Like, where do I fit in this narrative that God is writing for this time right now? And I read things like this. It says, like, worshiping in faith. And I always say, like, oh, my life is a living offering for the Lord. I believe as Christians, like worship is not only on Sundays, but worship is everything you do. Like, your daily life is a worship of acknowledging and giving value to who God is and what God has done for me. And that means every aspect of my life should be worship. And I've been asking, what does that look like? What does that mean? And the more I think about it, the more I've been growing up, the more I've been trying to be an adult, I realize I like don't really have it all together. I think most times, more often than not, it's like, especially for everyone in college right now, it's like not easy out there. And I think it's important to recognize, like, you're not always going to have it all together. And it's so easy for you to lie and to tell people and have a mask on to make it seem like you're the one that has it all together, who knows how to worship the Lord. Because I know I want to do that all the time. I want to present myself and say, like, oh, like, I know what it means to walk with God. Like, I know what it means to live a rich life in intimacy. I know what it means for me to be an ambassador for Christ everywhere I go. But I get humble and I realize I'm 22 and I really have no idea half the time. And I think it's important for us to realize that's okay. Like, that's not what God is looking for. God's not looking for you to be perfect. God's not looking for you to have all the right answers to solve all the problems in the world. God is looking for you to have a heart that says, God, I want to serve and worship you. It may not be enough, but God, this is all I have right now. And it says from there, God sees that as something beautiful. And I think a trap that we can fall into is this lie that we tell ourselves to make ourselves feel secure, to make ourselves have value and say, oh no, I have it all figured out. This is what God needs from me. And I think that is like the crux of what it means to have faith. And going into more about what I've been asking myself for the past couple months, it's, I just feel like we're living in such an interesting time, And I, like most of the people here, like, we're very young, and we see the world, and we see the world is changing. And I think oftentimes as a Christian person, I always ask, like, what does it mean for me to be Christian during this time? And I feel like sometimes, like, there is no other comparison that can lead to, like, what do I do during this time? Like, I think there's a lot of things that we read in the news, And, like, not saying I'm trying to be political right now, but I think it's something that's been on my mind, Like, we're in the midst of a movement of fighting against racism. We're in a movement of fighting against, like, decades of sexism, decades of segregation and discrimination. And we see that, as college students or post-grads or young adults, we see that. And I think oftentimes I ask myself, what does it mean for me to have faithful worship during this season? Like, as a Christian person, how am I supposed to respond to all the things that are happening in my society? As a Christian person who is called to represent who God is, what is my answer to all these questions? And I think oftentimes it's scary because I don't have answers for that. Most times, often than not, like, I don't know what to say to people when they ask me those questions. And I think the more I struggle with it, the more I realize, like, I think in the end of the day, that is not my job. My job is not to have answers. My job is to try my best. And I think a lot of the times, like, even with me and my Christian friends, like, we can be so divided on topics like this. Because we're so unsure of what we're really called to do. Like, what are we called to say against Me Too movements? Like, what are we called to say with in politics and how we vote, like what are we called to say against like gun control, and what are we called to say against and like giving rights and equality. Like what is the church's role in that? And I think it's like scary for me to talk about this right now because it's kind of like, but I feel like it is important for me to say it because I believe that is a part of my worship. Like how I respond to how the world around me is at and how I respond to my society is very important. That is a worship that is onto me. And I believe that if we call ourselves, if we say that our lives are a living sacrifice to the Lord, it is a job for us to do to offer those things and to give ourselves up for that. And just kind of, I guess, to wrap it up, I feel like I think just like what the Lord is saying in the past in this verse is the same thing that we're called to do right now. Because God says that what we require to be used by the Lord, what is required to be righteous by the Lord, is faith. And at the end of the day, I believe that we as a church and we as a community, we as believers, are called to have faith. Faith during times that are confusing, faith during times where we don't have answers. Not a faith that causes us to be apathetic and run away, but a faith that causes us to take action and speak out on things that we need to speak out on. And it might be scary, it might be confusing, and I think during this time, like, I'm not saying we have answers. But I think when I read this, it reminds me that I'm called to have more faith than I have right now, to believe that God is bigger than these problems. That God is bigger than my fears. God is bigger than like God is bigger than our apathy. And I think something that's been on my heart the most is for me to take action and for me to have a voice and speak out on things that I want to speak out on. And I think it's a faith that causes us to speak out when we see things that are unjust, that we speak out on that. And I think that's kind of like my take on what it means for me to worship the Lord on a daily basis. That it's not just something I do on Sunday. It's not something I just do on my own time. It's not something I do in the mornings. It's something where my very fiber of my existence exemplifies and represents the righteousness and the justice I see from the Lord. And my biggest prayer these days is that my life will be a representation of who God is everywhere I go. And I may fail time and time again. I may not be a perfect example. I may fall short to the glory that who He is. But my desire, my greatest desire for all of us here is that everywhere we go, we would exemplify that. And don't worry, I guarantee that we're going to fail many times. We're going to feel lost and feel unqualified and not have the right answers for. But that's okay. Because God says He is sufficient for us and He will allow us to do all things through Christ who lives in us. Because the alternative to that, I think for me, has always been to run away or to be apathetic. But I think to believe that God is real, to believe that God is greater than all my promises, to move us to action and be bold with that, even when we are not secure in our abilities. Yeah, and kind of to wrap that up, I think this is like this verse is a verse of hope, and it's not one of condemnation, but it's one of joy and one of hope. To say that when God gives you convictions, you may never feel worthy to do those things, but God will always be there with you if He has called you to do those things. And I think it's a time for us to reflect and to really seek God, like, what are ways that by faith I can be bold for the Lord? Like, what are some ways that God is calling me to have a voice, to speak out, and to be a minister amongst my community? I don't think it means you go out and you scream on the streets, but I think it means that even with your friends and your community and the people around you, how vocal are you with the ways that you see justice to be done? How vocal are you with the ways that you feel like God is the answer to brokenness and to sin in the world? And I think that's what it means to have faith on a day-to-day basis. And that's what it means for us to be ministers. That's what it means for us to have disciples. And ultimately, I think that's what it means to have a worship that's faithful.